Welcome to episode 343 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. This month, we are exploring the role of women in God's Word and celebrating the female voices of the past who have paved the way for women to enjoy a fuller life with which to serve the Lord. Yet many of us who have grown up in the church have received mixed messages when it comes to what the Bible has to say about women. Even those who have little to no church experience have likely heard some sort of so-called biblical perspective on the role and value of women. However, many of these quote-unquote facts have been distorted, misunderstood, and even misused by men and women alike. It is undeniable that relatively few women are mentioned in the Bible, and extremely few have what might be considered major roles. The reasons for this are mainly cultural. However, several women in the Bible had huge roles to play, and the honor they were given continues to this day. Bear in mind that there is no Old Testament God and New Testament God. Both accounts, as well as all teachings of Jesus, are of the same God. There are no contradictions. God is the all-knowing, all-merciful, all-righteous, all-gracious, all-holy, almighty, all-loving God. He's immutable. He does not change. Everything we know to be true of God in the Old Testament is still true of him in the New and vice versa. Our knowledge of the New Testament shapes the way we read the Old. And so it goes the other way around. Most of the issues people have with the Bible's teachings on women can be understood and explained through greater knowledge of the history, context, and purpose of the writing. God worked and still does work through the culture, geography, and customs of the time. Some of the troubling traditions we see in the Bible are primarily of cultural, not spiritual influence. Additionally, a lack of the reader's familiarity with the original languages, Greek and Hebrew, as well as many interpretive nuances of each language, lead to difficulties in capturing the true meaning of the original text. Alongside all of these issues is the fact that many of the problems people have with the treatment of women are treatments which are also applied to men. The God who inspired Jeremiah to write these words in Jeremiah 29 verse 11 meant them for women as much as for men. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." The Bible is the inerrant, inspired word of God. It is his revelation to us. It is primarily a theological book intended to reveal who God is and his plan for mankind. It is not a history, science, economics, or morality book. It has those elements within it, but its purpose is not to provide a detailed dissertation on those topics. We must start from the foundational viewpoint that the Bible is sufficient and authoritative, and when we do not understand all the pieces of the biblical puzzle, we need to remember the goodness of God and perfection of his word and keep seeking to understand. As such, we don't get to read the Bible with a Sharpie, blacking out the passages we don't like. When we encounter difficult passages, we need to change our default position. Instead of letting hard verses cast doubt on God's character, we need to first question our own knowledge and understanding of his word. Given that, how ought we to interpret what the Bible says about women? During the historical periods covered by the Bible, most societies were patriarchal, meaning men held exclusive power with the rare exception of a ruling queen. These power dynamics extended to every part of life, including religion, government, and family. Since the Bible mainly records historical events, such as the rise of the nation of Israel, and the acts of leaders such as prophets and priests and kings, the vast majority of people mentioned are men. Some argue that the Bible teaches that men are more valuable than women. Is that true? Genesis 1 verse 27, "So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Galatians 3 verse 28 adds, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And finally, the Apostle Paul makes his declaration in Acts 10 verses 34 to 35, "I now truly understand that God does not show favoritism, but welcomes those from every nation who fear him and do what is right. The King James Version uses the term, God is no respecter of persons. The Bible clearly teaches that God created men and women equal in value, yet unique in form and function. Unfortunately, many interpret these male-female distinctions as a hierarchical difference in our worth. However, both man and woman are made in the image of God. Man is not fully like God. Woman is not fully like God. Yet together we paint a glorious picture of God's likeness. Both play a vital role in bringing him glory. Yet especially at face value and without the understanding of our uniqueness in God's eyes, there are many verses that are difficult to reconcile with the reality of a God who loves and values men and women equally. There are multiple Old Testament laws and narratives that seem to exercise harshness toward women and promote misogyny and authoritarian abuse. For example, there are several punishments for a woman caught in adultery and none prohibiting polygamy. There are accounts of rape, abuse, neglect, and even the murder of women by men of God that seem to go unpunished. We need to understand this. Just because abuse and inequities are recorded in the Bible doesn't mean it gets God's stamp of moral approval. Quite the opposite, in fact. There are many stories in Scripture that are meant to point us to the absolute wrongness of the situation and make us want to cry out, how awful, this is unjust, unfair, wrong. God, do something. Help them. Help us. Throughout the tapestry of the Old and New Testaments, we see a steady thread of God's intentional choice and good plan to include and honor women. In each and every historical period represented within the biblical world, it was normal for women to be oppressed, neglected, and objectified as property. It is with this as the backdrop that God shockingly... to those of that day, consistently and purposefully invites women to be part of his redemptive plan to rescue the world from their sin. If we were to list all the biblical accounts as evidence for one or the other, with the proper interpretive context in mind, pro-women versus anti-women, pro-women wins by a landslide. Many biblical scholars point out that the number of women who are recorded in the Bible is unusual, given the male-dominated society in which the Bible was written. The inclusion of the stories of women from Hannah and Ruth and Esther and Deborah in the Old Testament to Mary and Elizabeth and Priscilla in the New seemed to indicate that God values women more than society as a whole did. Of special note is the resurrection account. The disciples of Jesus, all male, were hiding in fear while the women went to the tomb, discovered it empty, met the risen Lord, and became the world's first evangelists. Note that there are differences between that which is descriptive and that which is prescriptive. That which is descriptive is what the Bible simply records. The prescriptive is what the Bible specifically teaches. There are differences between the cultural, what the norms were for that time, and the biblical, what is clearly, uniquely, and timelessly Christian. There are also differences between the traditional, the way things have always been done, versus the theological, what is actually taught in Scripture. Over the course of the next few weeks, we will dive more deeply into these differences as we make sense of what the Bible says, actually says, about women. Father, thank you for creating both men and women in your image and for having plans for us, plans for our welfare and not for evil. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.